Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Bala Bhagiri Vadadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripajakacharya Astotara Sata Sri Shriman His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Ananda. Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda, Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya Jaisatarane. First of all, begging for blessings from Maharaj and apologies for speaking in front of you, but I'm hoping your blessings extend a long way over here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Reading from third canto, we're on chapter 23, which is Devahuti's lamentation. We're doing verses 14 through 17 today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam, we can say this together. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and we offer to Srila Prabhupada, who translated and commentated on it, And otherwise, we wouldn't have had any clue what Srimad Bhagavatam was about. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So our verse 14 and 15, it's two verses together today. Divyo Pakarano Petyam Sarvakala Sukhavaham Patikabi Patak Kabir Vichatbir Alankritam Shragbir Vichitra Malyabir Manuj Sinjat Sad Angri Bihi Dukula Kshoma Kosheyar Nana Vastra Virajitam. Please chant. Divyo Pakarano Petyam. Divyo Pakarano Petyam. Sarvakala Sukhavaham. Pratikabi Pratakabi. Vichitrabir Alankritam. Shragbir Vichitra Malabir. Patikabir Patakabir Vichitrabir Alankritam Shragbir Vichitramalabir Manushinjat Sarangribi Dulkula Kaushama Kaushaya Nana Vastra Virajitam. Ladies, please. Divya. Pati Kabir Pratakabir Vichitrabir Alankritam Shragbir Vichitramayabir Manu Sinjat Sarangribi Dukula Shama So we'll do the word for word. Divya, wonderful. Upakarana, with paraphernalia, sorry. Upetyam, equipped. Sarvakala, in all seasons. Sukha avaham, bringing happiness. Patikabihi, with festoons. Paktakbi, with flags, vichitrabi, of various colors and fabrics, alankritam, decorated, shragbi, with wreaths, vichitra malabi, with charming flowers, manuj, sweet, sinjat, Sadangribi, with bees. Dukula, fine cloth. Shoma, linen. Kosheyai, of silk cloth. Nana, various. Vastrai, with tapestries. Virajitam, embellished. So this is a description of the castle that was just manifested by Kardama Muni. The castle was, excuse me, the castle was fully equipped with all necessary paraphernalia, and it was pleasing in all seasons. It was decorated all around with flags, festoons, and artistic works of variated colors. It was further embellished with wreaths of charming flowers that attracted sweetly humming bees, and with tapestries of fine linen, silk, and various other fabrics. And I'll just read the next translation, and we'll go on from there. Uparya upari vinyasta nilas yesu pritak pritak kshipa kshiptai kashi pukantam pranyanka vyajanasanai. And the translation to that verse is, the palace looked charming with beds, couches, fans, and seats, all separately arranged in seven stories. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is understood from this verse that the castle had many stories. The words uparya, uparya, upari, vinyasta indicate that skyscrapers are not newly invented. Even in those days, millions of years ago, the idea of building many-storied houses was current. They contain not merely one or two rooms, but many different apartments, and each was completely decorated with cushions, bedsteads, and sitting places, and carpets. Omagyana timirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was certainly born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So that leaves me totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada, and I beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So continuing this very interesting narration of Kardama Muni's relationship with Devakuti, their marriage, etc., etc., her faithful service to Kardama Muni for many, many years, so much so, even though she was born of a royal family and had a very comfortable life prior to her marriage, extremely opulent lifestyle, she chose Kardama Muni because she was attracted by his devotional characteristics. She chose him and served him very faithfully and lovingly for many, many years, totally neglecting, totally taking herself out of the center of the equation and putting her husband, her dear, devoted, very exalted husband, as the center of her life, and served him so much so that she became very thin and skinny and emaciated, and her hair became tangled and this and that, because that was not the center of her attention at the time. Maharaj is very kindly expressed so many nice points in the classes he gave previous to this, especially the point that struck me, or one of the points that struck me, was how by her sacrifice and austerities, that was her glory, her sacrifice and austerities to serve her husband, that was her glory, and that endowed her with the blessings from him so that she also made tremendous progress in devotional service. And that being that sacrifice and austerity that the disciple makes towards serving the spiritual master, that's a key component in our progress in devotional service. So appreciated that point. Thank you very kindly, Maharaj. So here, this part of the narration of Kardama Muni's, when Devahuti approached for union, that as he had promised in the beginning, he had promised that before the marriage. As soon as I unite with Devahuti, after that I'm going to leave. Because why? not because he was neglectful in his duties, but because his spiritual advancement, and that was his priority in life. So he made it very clear, and he's fulfilling all aspects of that service to the Lord at this point. So one might wonder why so, you know, not so much emphasis, but there is an emphasis on the pleasure that Devahuti and Kardama Muni experienced in their union, in their marriage, etc. There isn't and obviously from these three verses that we're reading today, detailed descriptions of the pleasure that there was that they enjoyed. But the point being is that Kardama Muni manifested this seven-story flying, movable, at will, at his will, at their will, movable city, you could say, by his mystic powers. So then we remember that Kardama Muni, before uniting with Devahuti, was instructed by Lord Brahma. He was one of the, this is now Satya Yuga, this is the beginning of the creation, and the world, the universe, not even just this little world, but the universe is sparsely populated at that particular point in time. And Kardama Muni's, one of his services, one of the reasons that Brahma created him was to help propagate the, help manifest the population and fill the universe up with different living entities. So he took that, this is a very important point, he took it so seriously. He took that instruction so seriously. He first of all approached it by performing austerities. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years, but for 10,000 years he performed austerities so that he'd be fixed in his spiritual consciousness. Not that he wasn't anyway to begin with, but still, to give us an example, more or less, I guess there is a better way to express it, to give us the example that actually everything, every achievement that we desire to make in our spiritual progress comes from the blessings, as this another point that I really appreciate Maharaj spoke so many times on, the blessings of the guru and the acharyas in the parampara, by the blessings of our spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada and the blessings of the acharya. By getting their blessings, then we're able to make progress, little bit of progress, or lots of progress, in our spiritual endeavors. So Kardama Muni, 10,000 years of austerities so that he would be fixed and not in his next stage as a householder, not be deviated, not be distracted, not get so absorbed in the duties, pleasures, whatever, hassles also, of householder life, that he would be deviated. He remained fixed even in that service. Fixed in this is my service. My service is to propagate the universe. I want to produce worthy children. Therefore, his austerities were performed with a desire to get a good wife. Superficially, if we look at it, we might say, oh, how, you know, a less intelligent person might look at it and say, oh, well, that's not a very good, you know, desire for all those austerities, you know, you desire a good wife or a good husband or this or that. It's an unworthy desire. But no, because he was fixed in his service. That's what he wanted, someone to help facilitate that service so that they could produce qualified children so that the universe would start off on the right track, you could say. Because certainly, looking at the situation now, you can see that in Kali Yuga, as the time has progressed and degraded things, we're certainly way off track for making spiritual progress in this life in general. So performing those austerities. So I thought I would go a little bit to Nectar of Devotion, because Srila Prabhupada in this Nectar of Devotion, summarizing Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, especially in the first chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, there's so many foundational principles, philosophical principles there that we can apply in a practical application of our attempt to do devotional service. So in the very first chapter, when he talks about the six characteristics of pure devotional service. Okay, so my point being going over here, because one might think again, on a superficial summary of Kardama Muni's life, you might think, oh, he wasn't very advanced. But no, he was super advanced, very, very advanced. And now these symptoms of pure devotional service, we can see in that first chapter, that pure devotional service brings relief from all, immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. It's the beginning of all auspiciousness. It automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure by performing devotional service. And also, it's rarely achieved. It's rarely achieved. It's there available for everyone, but it's rarely achieved. And pure devotional service, the sixth characteristic, is that it's the only means to attract Krishna. So in that third description of pure devotional service bringing puts one in transcendental pleasure, Srila Rupa Goswami, I'm talking about Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. He talks about the three types of happiness that are available. He says there's different sources of happiness. Happiness derived from material enjoyment, happiness derived from identifying oneself as Brahman, and happiness derived in Krishna consciousness. So there are three stages, three categories, and three different levels of happiness. Material happiness, one can acknowledge that there is some happiness, but compared to the happiness of one who merges and understands that he's not the body, that he merges into Brahman, that happiness is the happiness of that realization is hundreds and hundreds of times greater than material happiness. And the happiness derived in Krishna consciousness is hundreds and thousands of times greater than the happiness of merging in Brahman. Srila Rupa Goswami gives an example of, it's like material happiness is like a drop of water in the desert. You know, you're dying of thirst and you get a drop of water, and it's, what can you say? A drop of water in a desert. It's nice to have that drop, but it doesn't really do anything for alleviating the distress of almost dying of thirst in the desert. But the happiness of Brahman is so much greater. And the happiness in Krishna consciousness is compared to an ocean, an unlimited, Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, an unlimited ocean of ever-increasing happiness. So when in that description of happiness, Srila Prabhupada talks about the mystic yogic cities, the eight mystic yogi cities. And if you notice, I was surprised when I was trying to find out what all the mystic cities were, Prabhupada very rarely speaks about all of them all at once. He'll speak about a few of them, you know, becoming lighter than the lightest, or heavier than the heaviest, or the ability to, you know, do this or that. But very rarely does he speak about all of them. So anyway, here they are with the help of Google AI. Anima city means becoming, you have the potency to become very, very small. 2, Mahima city, greatness, or expands one's body. So we can see that the demons who came to attack Krishna, sent by Kamsa, attained, they had a lot of these potencies. They could change their form. Agasura, can you remember how long Agasura was?
No, 14 miles,
Prangovinda Prabhu says, so long. And Putana, when she appeared, what, in a very beautiful form, then when Krishna was just holding on to her breast just a little bit, and she was feeling so much pain and suffering as he was sucking out her life air, she changed her shape, and she expanded herself to her original position, which was 12 miles long. So they had the ability to change their shape changers. Harry Potter just stole the idea, but anyway, shape changers, you know. But anyway, okay, so the fourth one, Garima, that means you can become heavy. That's what happened, well, Krishna did that with Trinavarta, became so heavy that, but actually, first before he became heavy, he became so light that Trinavarta could pick him up. Then, as he was getting a bird's eye view of the whole universe going, do you remember how high he went? 600,000 miles. Anyhow, how high Trinavarta took him? A lot, very high. Took him very high so he could see. He wanted to see up in the upper planetary systems and the demigods and their planets too. And then he said, okay, enough, and he became heavy, so Trinavarta came crashing down. But anyway, Prapti. Prapti city is acquisition. Srila Prabhupada talks about how he experienced that, seeing a person. I'm not sure if the person had come to his house or if it was somebody he visited or something, who offered his disciple anything that they wanted. And he said, well, we want some... okay, what were those red fruits called? Pomegranate. Thank you. Sorry. Pomegranate from Kashmir. And he said, okay, go in the other room. And they saw a freshly picked pomegranate with leaves and everything, so proving that it was freshly. So he had done it. But that's acquisition, so that they can extend their hand. These are the yogic cities. They can extend their hand and do wonderful things. And Ishita, oh no, Prakamya. Do whatever one desires, Prakamya city. So Prabhupada describes it as magic. They can make water come in their eye and also leave their eye at the same time. They can contradict nature and do magic. Ishita city, create a planet. Vasita city, influence, command, and bring others under their control. So I'm mentioning this because Kardama Muni, having performed his austerities, he had acquired those mystic powers. He acquired all of those mystic powers. And he was using his ability to create wonderful things by creating this palace. That was my connection point there. So he, but these mystic cities, Srila Prabhupada says, he goes on to explain, and he says, in the modern age, material scientists have acquired some of these abilities. They can bore down into the earth. They can, you know, do some of the programs, but they can't do every single thing. They can't create, you know, things from nothing, et cetera, et cetera. But Srila Prabhupada says one hugely important sentence. He says, of course, one can derive great amounts of temporary happiness by achieving such yogic materialistic perfections. He acknowledges, yes, from all of their austerities that they do, they can, you know, get that pomegranate from Kashmir, they can walk on water and impress some people, and they can maybe influence people to do whatever they want. And they can get some great happiness in controlling those situations, but that's all under the category of material happiness because it's temporary. Temporary happiness. And the happiness, again, Srila Prabhupada stresses, the happiness derived from Krishna consciousness is far greater and beyond comparison to any of the happiness that we could possibly achieve by our materialistic endeavors, even if they're quasi-spiritual materialistic endeavors. So putting it again in perspective, now this is Satya Yuga. So Kardama Muni, the lifespan of all the residents of that time, 100,000 years. 100,000 years was the average duration of lifetime in Satya Yuga. And so what did Kardama Muni do? He spent 10,000 years, okay? He spent 10,000 years performing those austerities. So in relation to his life of 100,000 years, putting it in perspective, that's only 10% of his life. Very small amount of time. In other words, what I'm trying to emphasize, it wasn't his focus. It wasn't his only focus in life. His focus in life, and even for performing those austerities, wasn't for acquiring the mystic cities. The mystic cities were just a byproduct of it, but it was for fixing his mind and intelligence and his endeavors on his spiritual life. And now this part of his lifespan where he's united with Devahuti and he's providing a beautiful lake for her to dive into and become refreshed and rejuvenated and beautiful, and now providing this mystic aerial mansion of seven stories that can go anywhere at will, this is just 1% of his life. His marriage to Devahuti in this point is just 1%. 10%, because it said that they passed 100 autumns. 100 autumns passed in pleasure. It went so fast. But then you put it in relation to his 100,000-year lifespan in Satya Yuga. 1% of his life was utilized in that. So again, there is, Srimad Bhagavatam's not leaving out any aspect of our life. It's not that because one tries to become absorbed in developing their love for Krishna that they totally neglect their emotions, their needs, their bodily needs, et cetera, but they're minimized. Point being, they're minimized. Not neglected, not so austere that, Satchinandana Maharaj, he gave a really nice visual example. He said, being from a German background, he said, it's just performing austerities is like if you're walking through, If you're performing unnecessary or exaggerated austerities, it's just like walking through a doorway with German suspenders on. So he's emphasizing that they're German quality, not made in China, but high quality suspenders. And you walk through the door with your pants held on by German suspenders, but somehow or other, a part of your strap gets caught on a hook, let's just say. And so you're walking, not realizing that. But the suspenders are so strongly made that they pull you back in. So he was saying that the point being that artificial austerities are not the point. The artificial austerities, unless one is taking care of the basic needs of the bodies and addressing their basic emotional needs also, that there can be some serious repercussions from that austerity. And sometimes, back in the days, we would see that every now and then. You would see somebody who would eat very austerely, sleep very less. And Prabhupada, he never encouraged that. He would always, even, of course, at the moment, I can't remember who maybe it was Giriraj Maharaj. Anyways, some very nice devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was saying to Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I'm reducing my sleeping now. I'm reducing my sleeping and my eating, expecting to get some encouragement from Srila Prabhupada and some congratulations, oh, you're doing such a good job. And Prabhupada said, no. You need to eat because you need to serve. You need the strength to serve. You need to sleep sufficient so that your mind can function properly. You can... Now, he didn't say this at that particular point, but the point being that sleeping, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending even are there in proper perspective if they're in a service mood. If they're in a service mood, if we're doing them for service to Krishna, then that's a proper perspective. Eat as much as required and not too much, and sleep as much as required, not too little and not too much, et cetera, for the proper functioning of the body and the mind and the mood, so that we can perform devotional service nicely and have nice relationships with the devotees. And Srimad Bhagavatam is very thoroughly touching on all aspects of happy life dedicated to Sri Krishna. Comments or questions or additions or corrections? Maharaj, if you would kindly. Oh, did I not do it? Who's in charge here? Hare Krishna, thanks for the reminder. Didn't I do it? Hare Krishna. Let's do 17 then. Brilliant idea, thanks, sorry. Shall we? 17, thanks, okay. Shall we chant it together? Tatra tra tra vinikshipta nana shilpo pasobitam mahamarakata shalya justam vidruma vedibi. Its beauty was enhanced by artistic engravings here and there on the walls. The floor was of emerald with coral daisies. Such an artistic touch. And the purport, at the present moment, people are very proud of their architectural art. Yet floors, Srila Prabhupada, floors are generally decorated with colored cement. That's our veranda floor out there. It appears, however, that the castle constructed by the yogic powers of Kardama Muni had floors of emeralds with coral daisies. So one can imagine the opulence and wealth that if your floor is decorated with coral and daisies and diamonds and stuff, what possibly could be there? So are there any comments or questions? Maharaj, could you bless us with something transcendental as opposed to what you've been hearing previously? From me, meaning. Would you like to say anything? No? Okay, thank you. So, someone else?
You were talking about yogic siddhis. And we see that people like, let's say, Jesus walking on water.
Yes.
And other such persons have also come along who have performed miraculous deeds, which have attracted people and have brought them to their path.
Yes.
Right? So whether that was Christianity or whatever. So could one then say that if a person had mystic siddhis and would use them in the service of Krishna, that they could then be, it could be a service rather than something just for one's sensual pleasures?
Very good point, very good question. Yes, it's totally true. It's totally true. Those mystic cities can attract people. But Srila Prabhupada particularly and specifically did not exhibit many, many times those mystic cities because he would say that it brings a certain quality of personage following that, especially the people that would, you know, produce ashes or gold dust or whatever. Then people become attracted to that particular point and not to the point of spiritual progress and serving the Supreme Lord. So, but your point is well taken, and again, that's true. It can, and that's probably why Christ exhibited that ability to walk on water, because it attracts people's attention. Oh, he's not an ordinary person. And he also is a good example of using it properly, because it didn't distract him thinking, oh yes, now I'm the most important. No, he said, no, my Father, love God the Father. So yes, it can be used, and yes, it's also dangerous to use, you know, to not be distracted by it. Anything else? Prangovinda, or... did you have something?
There's a verse in 7th chapter 129. Kabunavadivetamai bishaitaranga ei thai mora pave mora sangha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that because this Brahmana wanted to go with Mahaprabhu,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Mahaprabhu stopped. Mm-hmm, he said, mm-hmm. Practice and preach. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, I will meet you or you will be always with me. Mm-hmm. Never. And Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport. So I was just thinking, in a mystic power, Prabhupada displayed probably the biggest mystic power ever this world came to know, that reformed the conditioned soul to constitutional. That reformation is the biggest mystic power in the world.
Yes. Thank you. I was actually, as you started to speak, before you were doing the Sanskrit, which I didn't understand, but anyway, you know what I mean? I was thinking of that very same example, because one time, Srila Prabhupada was asked by somebody, Prabhupada, do you have any mystic powers? And he went like this. You know, here, this is my mystic power. All of you are mystically attracted, you know, by that, by Prabhupada's purity, etc., etc., and his ability to change our totally sinful life and totally materialistic consciousness into at least aspiring to make spiritual progress. Another comment, Ragatmika?
So we understand that Kardama Muni was very, very advanced and exalted, and they both were exemplary householders. However, why did it take so long, apparently so long, for it wasn't even him that was keeping his word to unite with her and produce children. She had to come up after being so emaciated and so spent in her sacrifice in service to him. Why did it, did he, I guess he was just totally in samadhi and didn't notice until.
Well, again, too, another, again, put it in the perspective of it's Satya Yuga. They're living 100,000 years, you know? So we can't even comprehend 100 years practically, living 100 years. But okay, now extended a little bit, 100,000 years. So in essence, it really didn't take so long, you know what I mean? In that sense of time perspective, it really didn't take, just like we've all experienced planting a seed. You plant a seed and you just like, where's the plant? Where's the flower? Where's the apple? Where's the whatever? It has to develop its roots. Everything takes time. Time is an factor. So my understanding is that it all happened in due course of time, all within a very short amount of time, in that perspective of that. Bushara, probably. Can I do that at the end? Is that okay with you? Right now?
Mother Shama Priya Devi's husband, Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu, going through surgery right now as we are speaking. So let us give a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra so that recovery becomes very easy and Krishna can direct the hands of the doctors to make it happen. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Our Jamuna Devi, she was walking with Srila Prabhupada in the snow. Mm. And as she's walking, her footprints are made in the snow. And then she looked over and Srila Prabhupada said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you didn't leave any marks in the snow. He said, you'll learn all that.
Thanks.
Then also is that if there's a small little click, well, not a click, anybody can join, but it would have been old Prabhupada disciples who saw Prabhupada floating. So in Satyanarayan, mm-hmm. Sureshwara, myself, we've all seen Prabhupada floating. So this was in Pittsburgh, the Surya Mas lecture, it's on tape, and we were playing for Srila Prabhupada music, you know, rock music, Jagatguru, Srila Prabhupada, and all, you know. Anyway, Prabhupada's coming down. It's in a huge auditorium, and, you know, steep stairs coming down. So all the lights were off, and the lights were shining on Srila Prabhupada. And as he came down, he was going like this, kind of like, you know, floating down. And I look at Atendriya, he's the other drummer, and I said, are you catching, you know, I'm looking at him like, you know, and he goes, yeah, I'm catching it. So afterwards, we all talked together. Mangalananda saw it, Gaurian saw it, Mahaprabhu saw it, Aja saw it, Vishwajan Swami saw it. We all saw Prabhupada floating down like that. Uh-huh. So Sureshwara, he also saw Prabhupada at the airport. He'd come in, and he came up the escalator. And as he came up, you know, when you're going faster, and then all of a sudden, when you get to the other side, Prabhupada just kept floating right across over to his Vyasasan. They actually brought the Vyasasan to the airport, believe it or not. And then Prabhupada floated right to his Vyasasan. Then Satyanarayan, he also saw Prabhupada another time, coming up the escalator too. And when he got right up to the edge, he just floated right across. Kardama Muni Das, who lives here, he also saw Srila Prabhupada floating like that, coming up an escalator. So something about escalators. Prabhupada connected with manifesting, you know, the missing power. But Prabhupada, you know, didn't make any big deal of it. Also, his effulgence, Mahakratu, in 1976, he saw Prabhupada in the this was the Radha Partha Sarthi Temple when it was at Lajpat Nagar. And when he came into the room, because he used to practice, you know, yoga, meditation and everything before he became a devotee. And when he came into the room, Prabhupada's effulgence was just manifesting the whole room. And he was like, whoa. He bowed down and he looked up and then it was gone. But Prabhupada's effulgence was covering the whole room.
So, there's one more.
Yeah.
There's one more effulgent story, too, that not just devotees, but even the policemen in New York City at the Rath Yatra, they said, they approached the devotees, the policemen said, he's glowing.
Yeah, exactly. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai, thank you very kindly for your kind attention. I just want to mention that there's a program tonight also, right, Maharaj? Yes, okay. There's a program tonight at the Lateral Learning Center beginning at 6 o'clock with Prashadam. Maharaj's lecture usually starts around 6:45, right? Very timely. And they're very wonderful lectures, so all are invited. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.